we need those who utilize their gifts and are faithful with it, who can't be run off, who say, God called me to this. I'm going to do this to the best of my God-given abilities. I may not always do it right, but I'm going to keep doing it till I get it right.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as today we're beginning a message entitled, Get Involved. And Pastor, it sounds like you're really calling the church body to get busy, to use the gifts that God has given us.
Well, yes. It's based on that title of that great theologian, James Brown.
Okay.
You know, he used to say, everybody over here, get involved. Everybody right here, get involved. Everybody over everywhere, get involved. Get involved. And that's what we need in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're called a body, and we need every member.
Absolutely, we do. But as you said, sometimes we can be hesitant to get involved. But this is not just a suggestion from Scripture. This is a command.
Amen, brother. Preach it.
Okay.
That's right.
Well,
I'm
going to let you do that in just a moment. We're just going to chat for a couple more minutes here.
Okay.
But if this is such a command and somebody is kind of hesitant to say, I'm not sure how to get involved, where to get involved. I hear you talk about the fact that God has given me gifts and abilities, but I don't know what they are. How do I know what to do?
Well, here's what God does. You ever notice he hits moving targets?
Yeah.
You know, people need to be actively involved in something. Here's what I share with people. Start somewhere, and God will either affirm or move you on. Hmm. You know, and so you have a spiritual gift. Every believer has at least one. So you are to discover it, develop it, and deploy it. That's mm-hmm. what we need in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need people who will utilize their giftedness. And so here's where I say start. What do you have a passion for?
Yeah.
What do you feel burdened for? And once you have a burden for something, you know, like I always tease and say, you know, like my wife saw me, had to have me, beg me to marry her. That's a burden. That's a burden, brother. That's a burden.
And she's been carrying that burden for about 46 years, right?
Wait a minute. I'm telling the jokes
okay,
here.
Okay, all right.
But you're right. I tell everybody she's filled with the spirit to be able to put up with me. As a matter of fact, this week, 46 years.
Congratulations.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, as you said, we need to discover, develop, and deploy, and that's what we're going to be talking about in this message entitled Get Involved. If you can, open your Bible to Colossians chapter 4 as we begin the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
One pastor had gone to a conference, and they had said that the two greatest sins in the church is ignorance and apathy. And so he went back and he hooked up with the head of his elder board, not deacon board, head of the elder board, and said, what do you think is wrong with the church today? He said, I don't know and I don't care. You'll get that on the way home. But ignorance and apathy are the two dastardly duos that plague the Church of Jesus Christ. F.B. Meyer, I put his quote down there for you. He said, one thing pierces and breaks the heart of God. It's not the world's iniquities, but the church's indifference. The church's indifference. And so when we look at the church, we understand and know that what's happening in the church is more akin to, and we talk about it all the time. Anybody remember the Nehemiah principle? It's called the Pareto principle. Pareto principle. In the business world, that's what it's called. In the church, the Nehemiah principle. What is that? That is this, that 20% of the congregation is doing 80% of the giving and the service. That 30% of the congregation is doing the other 20% of the giving and the serving. And 50% do nothing. I sure hope we don't have any 50 percenters in here, which means then, since in the African-American community, we have a 16% unemployment rate, and since in national average is 9%, then depending on how you look at it, 41% more unemployment in the church than in the world. And so when we look at this thing, we understand that when you look at what's happening in the church, since these people are doing more than what they ought to be doing, some things are left undone and there's some ministry that's not happening because somebody is just sitting on the premises rather than standing on the promises. Some of you will remember this, because this is not the first time you heard this. This is about Fred somebody, Thomas everybody, Susan anybody, and Joe nobody. Fred somebody, Thomas everybody, Susan anybody, and Joe nobody were neighbors. But they were not like you and me. They were odd people and most difficult to understand. The way they lived life was a shame. All four belonged to the same church, but you would not have enjoyed worshiping with them. Everybody went fishing or shopping or stayed at home to visit with friends. Anybody wanted to worship but was afraid somebody wouldn't speak to him, so guess who went to church? Nobody. Really, nobody was the only decent of the four. Nobody did the visitation. Nobody worked on the church building. Once they needed a Sunday school teacher. Everybody thought anybody would do it, and anybody thought somebody would do it, and you know who did it? Nobody. That's exactly right. So it happened a fifth neighbor, an unbeliever, moved into the area. Everybody thought somebody should try to win him for Christ. Anybody could have made the effort. You probably know who finally won him. Nobody. This little parable brings the focus again, the fact that each of us is personally responsible for God's work. If we leave it for somebody or everybody or anybody, nobody will do it. Let's work till Jesus comes. And so Paul closes his epistle, Colossian epistle. It's a prison epistle. And so he wrote it in his what imprisonment? First Roman imprisonment, right. And so it was one of how many books that he wrote in his first Roman imprisonment? Four books that he wrote in his first Roman imprisonment. And what are those four books that he wrote in his first Roman imprisonment? So y'all always talk about he do that over. And Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. All right. So at the close of this epistle, now what's this epistle about? It's about the completeness of Jesus Christ, his deity, and then the danger to it, and then our duties. So he says, listen, I want you to know he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality. We talked about it before. What did he do? He said he is deity, he is sovereignty, and what did he sandwich in the middle? Our humanity. So we are who we are because of the deity and the sovereignty of Christ. Wow, that ought to make you feel special. You're sandwiched in between the sovereignty and the deity. Go ahead, say it. I am somebody because I am in Christ. Amen. And so then he talks about it and he says, listen, let me tell you about his deity. Now let me tell you about the danger. These people who are Gnostics, who do not want to accept the fact that he's God in the flesh. Now let me tell you your duty. So here he's saying, listen, you have an obligation. So as he closes this chapter, I want you to see that he talks about these individuals and he begins, let me just read the first and the last. He says in verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know your estate and comfort your heart with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. So he goes through this. Archippus, my fellow prisoner, Marcus. He begins to name all these people. Epaphras, verse 12. And so he names these individual, Epaphras, Luke, Demas, all of those. Here's what he does. He gives us the categories. Now, all these names fit four categories. First of all, he talks about the men who stayed. Their criteria or their characteristic was faithfulness. What were they? Faithfulness. That he's saying, I'm naming all these men, some 20 in all, but let me give you their category. They were faithful. They were dependable. They were steadfast. And if we ever need some folk who are steadfast, we need it in this church. Amen. We need some individuals who stick by the stuff, who make a commitment to do something and fulfill it for the year that they said they were going to fulfill it. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and so here he says, there are men who stayed. And listen, we need those who volunteer, who utilize their gifts and are faithful with it, who can't be run off because somebody said something they didn't like, who can't be put down because somebody don't like the way they did something, who said, God called me to this, I'm going to do this to the best of my God-given abilities. I may not always do it right, but I'm going to keep doing it till I get it right. That's what we need in this church. Then the men who prayed. So you had those who were prayer warriors. And you need them because nothing is going to be accomplished in this church apart from prayer. Why is little being done? Because there is little prayer. That's why. That's why. So then, these are individuals who were fervent in their supplication. Fervent in their supplication.
Well, that is so important, isn't it? I think the older I get and the longer that I've known Christ, the more I realize how urgent prayer is and how we need to be striving for that intimate prayer life with Christ. Well, I hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to get back to this message called Get Involved in just one moment. I want to let you know that if you ever miss a program, there are several different ways that you can catch up with Pastor Ford's teaching. One very easy one, especially if you're on the go a lot and you just can't be listening to your radio when this broadcast is on, is to go get the Moody Radio app. When you're away from the radio, you can still hear Treasured Truth anytime with Moody Radio's app. It's available for your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android phone or tablet. This might be the best part. It's free. And not only can you listen to this Bible teaching program on demand, but you can also listen to many other Moody Radio programs and streaming music stations. And you can find this by going to your favorite app store, like the iOS App Store, Google Play, and simply search for Moody Radio, or we'll link you to it when you come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. You can find links to the app on the page or on the Stay Connected bar right there on the homepage. Again, you can get started by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org. Again, here's Pastor Ford.
Then there are men who strayed. Y'all see that? Yeah, so then the next line is, these were the ones who failed. And so individuals who, they're a part of a body, but it's like they don't function. And he's saying, here's the individuals, and he calls them by name. I ain't calling no names. But what's wrong with them? Failure. They failed. Yeah, the men who strayed, they failed. So they're stumbling blocks to the people of God. They're stumbling blocks. Okay, so let me start all over. The men who stayed, and the word is faithful. Then the next line, steadfast. The next one is the men who prayed, fervent. They were on fire, fervent. Then the word is supplication. Supplication. So I'm talking about the four categories of individuals. So the men who strayed, they failed. So they are stumbling blocks. They're stumbling blocks. So we have to ask ourselves, in this congregation, what are you? Because you're one or the other. You're not in between. You're either a stepping stone or a stumbling block. That's it. So you know what you are. What are you? Because every member has been called to the body of Christ to do something for the cause of Christ. So our service doesn't substitute for our giving, and our giving is no substitute for our service. I have a person say to me, well, I'm going to give you some money because, you know, you need money to need you too. I need you and your money. Yeah, not either or, both and. Yeah, need you to roll up your sleeves and get busy. Use your spiritual gift. I don't have time. You don't have time to serve God? Okay. I ain't sitting with you in service. That lightning bolt hits you, Jack, I'm going to be far away from you. And so then there were men who played. They were frivolous. Yeah, frivolous. They were frivolous. Frivolous just means to be playing around with God. Come see, come saw. Oh, well, I could take it or leave it. I can come to church or not. I can come to Bible study or not. I could pray at home. These people are shaky. Shaky. Yeah. So he says to him, and say to Archippus. Now, Archippus is mentioned two times in Scripture. He's the son of Philemon, the son of Philemon. So in Philemon, he's called a fellow soldier. He's called a fellow soldier. That is, he stood strong in the faith. Archippus loved the fight, so he must have been a Baptist. And so here, Ephesians tell us, he uses the word histemi. It means to stand. Four times he uses it, and each one is significant. Let's walk through it. He says, I want you to stand against the evil devil. That is, we resist the devil. Resist the devil. Stand, evil day, resist. And so we then are those who are called to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible tells us that we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we have to stand against the devil. We have to resist him. But then the second stand is not talking about the evil devil. It's talking about the evil day. Is there an evil day in which we're living? You better believe it. So then we must stand. That one tells us we must be resilient. We must be resilient. You know what that means? Be able to bounce back from stuff. Man, too many of us wear our feelings on our shoulders. First time somebody doesn't say something, or sometimes somebody says something, here we go. I ain't coming to church no more. Why? Because one ignorant person. So if they sit over here, sit over there. You ain't got to sit with them. It's like, what would happen if every leader let one ignorant person stop them from leading? Wouldn't be no leader. You would never have a pastor, because I'm going to tell you this. Somebody offends me every time I come. Somebody says something to me that's out the box. All the time, emails, letters. You know what I do? I file them in that receptacle beside my desk. That's what I do. Because some people have the gift of criticism. Now, if it's a valid comment, I always listen to every valid comment. But there are people who they just say things just to hurt you. Yeah. And so I know those folk. And so I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it at all. They come with territory. You know, if you ain't ready for that, you ain't ready to do ministry. So then he says, stand, not just against the evil devil, the evil day, but the every device. And he's talking about resources that the devil has. Strategia, that's what the Bible calls it, from which we get the word strategy. And so what we have to do is, we have been given the keys to the kingdom. Now what do keys do? Open gates. And what gates are already open? The gates of hell. So every time hell has a resource, we have a key. Every time hell puts up a gate, we have a key. And then at the end, it says stand at the end. And that is to be resolute. Resolute, that is always ready to fight. So then, next line, he was a fellow soldier, but not a fellow worker. And so he was the one that would charge hell with a water pistol and tell God, I'll put it out. He was a fellow soldier, but not a fellow worker. Now let me show you, they go hand in hand. That God wants the soldier and the servant to come together. So in Nehemiah chapter 14, here's what Nehemiah says. Let me just read it to you. It says in verse 17b, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work. With the other hand, he held a weapon. So they had a shovel in one hand and a weapon in the other hand. Nehemiah said, stand on the wall, be ready to work, be ready to war. Every Christian is a warrior and every Christian is a worker at the same time. So then, basically then, how do you encourage saints to serve? God led you here, not just to come and get the word. God led you here to work. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good work. It's time to work, people. So, how do you encourage them? This one verse, and like I said, we studied on a Sunday before. But this one verse, listen to it. He says, the first thing you do, and say to Archippus, stop. He says, the first thing you do is confront them to instigate them. Confront them to instigate them. What do you mean? Confront them to instigate them. Where do you get that? And say to Archippus, confront them to instigate them. Say, what are you talking about? Here's what he's doing. There is what's called an ox goad. Anybody know what an ox goad is? Let me tell you what an ox goad is. It's a long stick that a farmer would use. And at the end, it had a sharp point. And if the ox didn't work, the farmer would stick the ox with the ox goad. Stick, stick, So Paul says there are people who are oxen. That's what he likens us to. Why? Because oxen will work. So we're all oxen because we've been given that nature by Christ.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford. It's quite a picture, isn't it? Well, we're listening to a message that's called Get Involved, and it comes from Colossians chapter 4. We're going to continue this next time, but if you ever miss a program, you can always listen online. Just simply come to our website. There you can stream a program or download an MP3 for free. Stop by treasuretruthradio.org. Again, that's treasuretruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, for somebody who's been listening for some time to this program, they will have heard us talk about the fact that we're listener-supported, but in essence, what does that mean?
What it means is we're able to bring good Bible teaching to our listeners because they are supporting the ministry. We couldn't be on if they would not be supporting the ministry.
So there is a cost, actually, to doing radio, production costs and airtime.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And what they're doing is investing in their own spiritual growth.
Yeah. Well, you can make an investment right now as you give a gift to Treasure Truth and Moody Radio. Very simple to do that. Come to the website. It is treasuretruthradio.org. Click on the link that says Make a Donation. Again, that's at treasuretruthradio.org. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.